Welcome back to another edition of Irish Illustrated Insider. We're going to have a full boat today. I am Tim O'Malley, joined by Tim Priester of Irish Illustrated, John Bryce of Football Scoop and Irish Illustrated, and Pete Sampson of The Athletic will join us soon. And it's a good thing, guys, because it might take four of us to talk about the surprisingly informative press conference today, highlighted by General Manager Mike Martin. But thereafter, with John Wagle, the Associate Athletics Director for Sports Performance, and Rob Hunt, of course, the head football athletic trainer. Hunt gave us a lot of information we're going to need for every spring practice report we do, and we'll get back to that later. But I think a lot of listeners have wondered when we would hear from Mike Martin. Today was the day, and he's a very enjoyable interview. They have hit it out of the park with guys you want to talk to. Now it's important for Chris Ash and Juwan Sider and Mr. Martin to do their jobs for fans to like them, because that was an enjoyable conversation today with Mike Martin.
Yeah, I just want to remind everybody, we are going to skip segment two today with questions just because we didn't anticipate this press conference being what it was. So we think you'll enjoy the information that we have here. And for all of those that submitted questions, Tim, you got a list of guys there that
We'll get the full house backfield and not Jay Tufel, maybe Mav 29 on Monday. They'll all get their moment in the sun.
Okay. Well, Mike Martin, I mean, we always talk about, you know, first press conference and winning the press conference. He's certainly, I mean, as gracious as a guy could be, and clearly he's thrilled. He's thrilled to be at Notre Dame. I think that he's got a great deal of respect for, you know, he made the comment later on when he was answering questions that, hey, you know, general manager, he kind of looks at the NFL general managers and now college football general managers as the same thing, a similar role. Obviously, the details are a little bit different, but man, made a really good, strong first impression. Thanked everybody under the sun right out of the gate, almost forgot his mom, and he was able to include her. But he made a really strong first impression as to, you know, just how excited he is to be a part of this organization.
Tim Priester, he was the first general manager to ever cut off Tim Priester to thank his mom instead during a press conference. That was pretty fun. Tim had the first question. He's like, wait, I gotta thank my mom. Now, JB, you had met him before, right?
Yeah, well, we have some mutual friends, so it'd been a bit, but yeah. I thought he presented really well today. I thought he struck a lot of the really bright notes. I specifically asked him about so many NFL guys coming to the college game. He said he expects to see more and more of that. So, you know, this is a situation where there was a lot of gnashing of teeth when James Blanchard turned down Notre Dame. And I just think that Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman won out in the end. And that's not revisionist history. That's just looking at the two, looking at what they've done, looking at fit, looking at all of those things. And frankly, it's not just that Mike's been with the Lions for the last several years, but he's got two decades of NFL experience. He knows high academic institutions from Vanderbilt. And then most importantly, he's scouted all over the country. And he's been an area scout in the Southwest. He's been a national scout for different NFL franchises. I think that's highly important because when you're in those roles, everybody knows who the top 50 prospects are in the draft. You have to go and identify and find guys that you believe can help your franchise otherwise, that are maybe at a smaller school, be it FCS or a group of five school that doesn't have as much attention. So I think Mike Martin is accustomed to that. I think that will really help him and be beneficial to Notre Dame as they seek to identify their talent that they want to sign. He reiterated that they want to build. He said in the NFL, I believed in building through the draft. Basically, the draft in this instance would be the high school recruiting and then supplement through the portal.
Right. No, I thought that was I especially like that comparison he made there. And part of my question was, I was quoting Marcus Freeman from his press release, and I realize press releases can be press releases, but you know, a couple of things that Marcus Freeman said about Mike Martin was that he was forward thinking and innovative and elite at talent evaluation. Now, he didn't get real specific. I asked him specifically about the forward thinking and innovative stuff. He didn't get really, really specific with that. But I think a guy like this is exactly who you want to be as your general manager, as John said. I mean, all that experience in the NFL before he got to, you know, we talk about the stuff with the Lions, but he spent 11 years with the Texans right out of the gate. Well, that's not true. He was an intern for the Titans way back when, and then Tampa Bay, and then a bunch of time with the Texans and Carolina. And we know him from recent years with Detroit, but his background is so diverse. I think it's, And then the fact that he's from Vanderbilt and understands academics, magna cum laude from Vanderbilt. I think that we use the phrase perfect fit too often, but his background is so well-rounded. I think it's a really, really nice addition for Notre Dame.
And it's exactly what we brought up on this podcast almost 2 years ago. There someday has to be a general manager that evaluates all the players coming into a program. And that's exactly what Notre Dame has now. And it's a guy that built one of the best rosters in the NFL. It was, I think it's a huge addition. I like that he admitted he will be in a learning curve in terms of high school evaluation. He probably will hit the ground running with the portal evaluation for what they need in April, what they need as the season progresses next year. Obviously, the behind the scenes stuff, he'll have everybody telling him who might go in the portal. He'll have advanced scouting going on there. I would expect Notre Dame's 8 to 10 portal guys next year to be hits. I mean, you can't go across the board because nobody would have argued with RJ Oben when he was brought aboard by Notre Dame. But I expect Notre Dame's portal additions to make as big of an impact as ever going the next year. And then you mentioned he's going to rely on his recruiting service. He's going to rely on the people that already know what they're doing there. And he will grow in the job. Just like we said 3 years ago, 4 years ago, now Marcus Freeman's going to be a much better coach in year 5 than year 1. Mike Martin's going to have it down in year 2. He's not going to have it down in year 1. It's impossible. He has to get to know his team, Tim. And that's one thing we didn't get to talk about today. Unfortunately, I was a little salty internally because that was my question. How do you examine your own roster right now? What do you do with probably going down from 118 players on the team now? You're most likely going to have to cut it down to 105. Doesn't matter if they're scholarship or walk-on anymore. We ended up having a lot more stuff that was fun to listen to from Rob Hunt. We'll get to that later, but Mike Martin does have a tough job. Fewer practices than usual. I wanted to go to you guys on this one for the spring, about out of necessity, and he's got to evaluate almost his whole roster with less time to look at them, really.
Yeah. JB, go ahead and jump in there.
Yeah, I just wanted to interject real quickly as you were talking about Mike saying he would lean on his recruiting staff, and I posted this to the board, but I think it's an important time to note Notre Dame has promoted Carter Allman to director of recruiting. Now, this was a move that was in the works, especially as Wisconsin pursued Carter Allman very aggressively in recent weeks after Chad Bowden hired away Wisconsin's GM, Max Steinecker, and brought him out to Southern Cal. Wisconsin then pivoted and tried to hire Carter Allman to become the Badgers' new general manager. Notre Dame is hanging on to him, making him director of recruiting. Notre Dame will still hire yet another director of recruiting and then also likely an assistant GM. So there's still a couple of open spots there. But Mike Martin in the fold and hitting the ground running is very positive for Notre Dame. Hanging on to Carter Allman is very significant to Notre Dame, especially in the wake of losing Caleb Davis in the last week to become general manager at San Diego State. So I did just want to sort of clarify those things. Notre Dame continues to talk to multiple SEC personnel people, also some ACC folks, particularly in trying to check and see how extensive the conversations have been with Notre Dame and someone at the University of Louisville. And then on top of that, I was told within the last 24 hours that Marcus Freeman has circled back around to Kenyatta Watson at one point at Auburn just to make sure that he's not still thinking about it. And so Marcus Freeman's a great recruiter. He's not taking no for an answer easily, but Notre Dame is very active in those pursuits.
You know, part of what we were saying about Martin making a good first impression, there's just a genuine level of humility that the guy brings with him to Notre Dame. I thought it was interesting to note that he said, you know, in meeting Pete Mavacqua, he was kind of starstruck when he took a look at the extensive nature of Mavacqua's resume. So, you know, I think that he hits on. He checks a lot of boxes here, and it is great that Tim, that he admitted that there's a learning curve with high school recruits, but I mean, I think that's the process, not the evaluation of it. I mean, the process of the recruitment process, not the evaluation he's sensational at it.
Oh yeah. No, I meant the entire dynamic, right, which is extensive and year round. I think it's interesting. You know, obviously there are talking points that you're given because there's never going to be anyone in recruiting or now general manager position that says we're chasing stars. We want the 5 stars. We want the 4 stars. You always don't acknowledge the stars. I kind of take him at face value when he's like, and all of a sudden people are telling me these guys are 5 stars and these guys are 4 stars. they don't care at all in the NFL if you're a five-star or a four-star. I really think he doesn't really care if they were five-stars or four-stars. Now, it's a good weeding out process when you find out these are the top 50 recruits by most services, guys that have seen him. But I would expect that Mike Elston used to say the same thing, and then when they got a lot of five-stars, he'd say, hey, we got a lot of five-stars, because that's that's a good thing as well.
He made a point of saying we're not, like you said, magazines. I mean, he made a point of what he was saying was, we're not going to follow anybody else's list. We are the ones that determine our list. And again, I think that's a really positive thing.
And JB, I wanted to joke when he said, we're not going to be looking at anybody else's magazines. I thought, well, you probably shouldn't, because I don't think those are getting printed anymore when they're trying to put out recruiting information.
They're not flying off the shelves at Barnes and Noble or your local Little Free Library.
Yeah. So I think that, we're not going to live in the portal, but obviously we're going to be in the portal. That's another talking point of Marcus Freeman. But I thought that it was an interesting question. I believe Mike Berardino asked it about valuing positions and how it changes in the NFL. Like, obviously 25 years ago was 100% different than 10 years ago. And now, and how you'll value positions at Notre Dame. And Martin gave an interesting answer, guys, was, look, that changes from year to year at Notre Dame. He did a good job of dodging what position they're going to be valuing, I think, in the portal and in recruiting, of course.
We'll say it for him. Defensive tackle.
Yeah. He's right, though. That's a fluid situation. I mean, I think over a three-year period, you can probably plan out, 2 to 3 years where you look at the back end of your roster, the front end of your roster, and eligibility, who may or may not transfer out, and say, this is what we need to focus on, and this is what I want your area scouts to focus on. This is what we need to bring in, whether it be from freshmen or one-year grad transfers. And he did acknowledge, we can't talk to everybody in the transfer portal. I think that could be a good thing sometimes. Now, you want to be able to talk to more people than Notre Dame probably can, but he acknowledged with academic restrictions, we can't go talk to everyone, so they kind of have to isolate what you're looking for in year one versus what you're looking for in year three. I think Tim Priester, that is the process he's talking about. Like, I want to hit the ground running, getting these guys on my roster, but we also have to plan 2 and 3 years out what we're going to need to bring onto this roster.
Yeah. Because it's so fluid, Notre Dame's done a pretty good job compared to a lot of schools about, you're not getting a massive amount of players walking out of the program, but it's still a fluid situation from, if not day to day, from month to month. And so, that's one of the challenges he'll face. I just really, really liked his presentation today. John Waggle, the director of sports performance, I thought said some, I don't know if you guys are ready to move on from Mike Martin.
On Martin, I would probably just add that I found it very interesting. Well, obviously, he's visited with Notre Dame's brain trust, specifically Pete and Marcus Enix, as well as Scott with NIL and all of those folks. And he very clearly expects the House settlement to be formally adopted next month, which is 32 days from today. Monday, April 7th is when that's supposed to be expected to be ratified. I shouldn't say supposed to be, expected to be finally ratified. And he made it very clear. He equates that to basically college football's version of a salary cap. He said, sure, certainly not the same. But there's going to be varying lengths of players' deals for revenue shares. And I've talked with just a number of GMs within the last week who have said, like, hey, we're going to probably sign some of our highest rated 5-star and 4-star recruits out of high school to 2-year revenue share deals. But we're not going to guarantee, it'll be bad business if we start trying to guarantee 4-year revenue share deals just because we sign a 5-star that everybody in the country wants. So that'll be an interesting element. Another element where I think his expertise in the NFL will lend itself to Notre Dame's advantage, because when you're in free agency in the NFL, not everybody's getting the same contract length. Not everybody's getting the same terms. There are different incentives there. So I did find it very striking that he already is beginning to equate the impending revenue share to the NFL salary cap.
Looking to upgrade your wardrobe? Founded by Notre Dame alum Gu Wang, you've seen ESQ custom clothing on the player walk and all your favorite players and coaches. With more than a decade of making the best bespoke clothing available, ESQ will help you look and feel your very best. From a perfect fitting suit or sport coat, shirt, or bomber jacket, or that perfect tuxedo for wedding season, check out esqclothing.com and book an appointment to upgrade your wardrobe today. Mention Irish Illustrated and get 10% off your entire purchase. That's esqclothing.com.
We also are the second speaker for today was Director of Sports Performance, John Wagle. And I circled several things that he did because I think this is, I think many times, and we're guilty of it too, but I think even more so people on the outside, like maybe misinterpret like injuries and what the process is. And, you know, like he was asked about snap counts. I think Eric Hansen asked about snap mm-hmm. counts, and he said certainly snap counts, you know, are important, but or injuries. What is it, a, you know, this kind of injury or that kind of injury? And he said, you know, like they evaluate an injury based upon days missed because of that injury. And then also, you know, in evaluating, okay, what kind of job did we do this year in taking care of the players and getting them back from injuries? And he talked about, you know, what the barometer is. And one of it was, I mean, the main one is, did we win or lose? And I think that's ultimately, that's the most important thing. They won 14 games this year. Played 16 games because they were good enough to keep playing. And it's, they, I know Notre Dame had a lot of injuries, but they stayed healthy enough and had somebody to come in and fill the gap that was able to keep them alive in the playoffs until it was a little bit too much with Ohio State.
I think there was two parts of that. It's not only that they won instead of lost, they were able to play to the last game of the season. But he also mentioned that they were actually able to enhance some of their lower body workout training
right.
all the way through January, which is not something you would have expected. And then Pete, I believe Pete Sampson just joined us now from The Athletic. Pete, I think you were the one that asked about evaluating the injuries, the type of injuries that happened. And he said, look, you really have to take a heavy look if you're having a lot of guys running down the field untouched on the sideline. They're pulling their hamstrings and pulling groin muscles with soft tissue injuries. There's also a thing in football where a 300-pound guy falls on you. And that's just something that's – it's got to take it in its totality.
Yeah, and I think that Marcus and Landau sort of caught a little bit of static of that last year when they're having a serious rash of ACLs. But I wouldn't put that down to a whole lot more than just like – bad luck, and maybe there's some tweaks here or there in your training. But I actually sat down with Jack Kaiser yesterday and we were talking about injuries, and he's just like, look, the amount of force you're putting on a joint to play football is like, there's just not much you can do about it. And he's like, look, we didn't have hamstrings and all and sprains like that. So I think Notre Dame probably feels in a good spot. They got, I am interested to sort of see how, you know, from the enhanced Marcus Freeman school of verbiage, like, are there places where they can still get better? So when you do play 16 games, you're a little bit fresher at the end. If you can be a little bit luckier, it certainly seemed like, I don't know if Ohio State was healthier than Notre Dame at the end, but when you play a 16 game season, you're trying to find every lever to pull to be as fresh as possible, opposed to, you know, just making it to the end line and sort of crashing out in game 16.
And Priester, you mentioned that for his evaluation process, I mean, I think snap counts, it was a great question by Eric, because not all snap counts are the same, but as he noted, a guy like Xavier Watts, every snap right. he's running a sprint because he also knows where the ball should be going. A guy like in a physical game, if you're playing, I don't think Notre Dame fans are gonna like this one, when you're playing Army or Navy, you have to have a very physical practice to prepare you for Saturday, but then you have to find a way to scale back when you're going to play somebody else. I immediately thought to myself, well, they played Navy, later on they played Army, and then they had to go out to USC where things got a little hairy for them. So it's the behind the scenes things like that that I thought was interesting today. You find out how to scale things back because it's still football. And as both Hunt and Wagle mentioned, You got to be prepped for Saturday, no matter how much you're trying to scale back. And we'll get to how much they're scaling back in the spring in a minute.
We hear that stuff about the academies, and you think, oh, well, come on, it can't be true. They weigh less. They're not as strong as a lot of the, you know, the USCs and et cetera that you play.
All of those snaps hurt a little bit more.
they do. I mean, it's just reality, which then leads us to, can we talk about the number of practices?
Yeah,
Normally it's 15. It may. I mean, he didn't shut the door on Waggle didn't shut the door on 15, but
I think he shut the door on 15. Okay. I think he shut the door pretty well.
Okay. Well, he didn't shut the door on just being 10, but they have
10 are listed. 10 are listed.
10 are listed. We got a list, and we wouldn't have talked about this, but they just did. It was brought up. Eric Hansen asked a question that was on my mind. That, you know, okay, we see 10 listed. Are there just 10? Well, it looks like it, because some of them say no media practice access. So it was demarcating each practice. So that's what they have scheduled now. Maybe there's one or two more, but again, this is what, and the whole point is they got a whole bunch of work in January that they wouldn't normally have gotten had they not made the run to the national championship. So it's load management, and part of that load management came into play in January because they were prepping for and playing football games in January. So you got to back off somewhere. And this is the number one, starting practice a little bit later than they normally would, which makes sense. And number two, just backing off in numbers. And then it was clearly the guys that played significant roles are going to get less snaps. The guys that need the snaps that weren't playing in games all the time, they need the snaps. And those are guys that you're going to see getting a lot of work.
Yeah, and we had already noted on a podcast a few weeks ago, and they alluded to it today, that Notre Dame had a staggered start to its off-season conditioning for guys. Right. The mid-year guys and the transfers that were on campus began theirs immediately, and then they gradually eased into it with the rest of the team that played right up until the championship game, which I think I counted was just about 35 days ago or something like that, or 45 days ago, not very long ago whatsoever, that they were still playing football. And so they took a very strategic, scientific approach into their off-season conditioning, and we'll see that. And Waggle said it will be between 10 and 15 practices. I think it's been commonplace the past couple of years where there's maybe been a practice or two that wasn't listed because there's no media access, no interviews, no nothing of that sort. So I think that's sort of been done before, but this is a little more clear that they're not doing the full allotted 15, not in the traditional sense anyway.
I was just say a couple things. There's no reason you can't have a spring practice after your spring game. Like, that's a possibility. And then you even look at the first spring practice listed on March 19th. It's an hour. So Right. You don't need to practice for 2 hours every time you have a spring practice. So I think there are ways you can think outside the box to get what you want in, maybe just in a different way than you did before.
That's a great point, Pete, because there's a lot of program. I shouldn't say a lot. It's already somewhat commonplace for programs to make the spring game their 14th practice. And then that final practice is a corrective teach tape day where they go through the film and then almost have a final walkthrough that recaps spring, and they go over what they did well in the spring game, what didn't go well. They target the areas to improve. Every position coach meets with his respective players, and then they move from there. So that is another great point, especially when you consider, I think we're going to visit with Marcus sometime after the spring game, which is already scheduled, and that's also a deviation from the past.
I want to get into the four groups of players that head athletic football trainer Rob Hunt shared with us, because this is important for Athletic and Football Scoop and Irish Illustrated subscribers. When we are going to practices, these guys may not play, and it has nothing to do with injuries in some cases, and some it does. So
there's about 30 guys here total.
Yeah, let's start with the fully returned group, which I found interesting because there's an important name in this one, of course. But fully returned from injuries that we did or did not know about. I think we did know all these last year. Jabron Payne, Styles Prescott, Tabron Benny-Powell, Jason Onye, Quinton Autry, who we referenced on a previous podcast very recently, the Columbia transfer who was lost last year. He is full and good to go. And of course, CJ Carr. They are in unrestricted winter program, no limitations. Other than CJ Carr, guys, anything on that of value?
I don't think there's
podcast
any
podcast fodder. Is that a,
I don't think there's any surprise there. I know a lot of people are very happy to hear Jason Onye is back, a healthy, stronger, better, more competitive Jason Onye is absolutely needed on the interior of that defensive line. CJ Carr, we learned a lot about, we learned some specifics about CJ Carr's fall.
Yeah. Go ahead, Pete, chime in on that.
No, I just, I think we knew Carr was back. I thought it was good to have someone officially on the record mention Jason Onyeka by name.
Yes, that's true too.
So that's one of those, like, yes, we anticipate him back, but when somebody at Notre Dame says it on the record, you're like, okay, we're good. So I thought that was certainly worth noting.
It was his injury. Rob Hunt said was a 10 to 12 week process.
CJ Carr.
CJ Carr, right.
What did I say?
No, just the his of whether we're talking about Onyeka or Carr there.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah, CJ Carr. 10 to 12 weeks, and it was slow, intentional process, to use his words. Started with rest, then went to light work, and then a throwing program. I think by the time we saw him for the national championship game, he was throwing some pretty good-looking 20 to 25-yard outs, which is a challenging throw for a quarterback, and he looked pretty good at that point. And so, good news, clear and ready to go. They knew, you know, there's give and take with the long run through the playoffs, and the fact that they had that allowed him then to get to, you know, to throw more and to be, you know, a little bit better prepared heading into winter conditioning, and now just a heartbeat away from the start of spring drills.
And we'll get to some of the players that are going to have to give back some time because of that in a minute. But the modified group, according to Rob Hunt, which is they had a previous or current injury, could have had surgery in the past. They are in a transition process now, and their work in the spring will be entirely individually based. Anthony Knapp obviously had the ankle injury, surgery after the Orange Bowl. According to Hunt, progressing nicely, give or take on work is over 3 to 4 weeks. Cole Mullins, who was will be limited the first few weeks of spring ball, but should not be in the final weeks. He, of course, had a knee injury and surgery during the football season. Billy Schroff, it's the other ankle. He's going to have a cleanup procedure this week. He's had the majority of the winter program, but he will now pause for maintenance. That's interesting to note. He'll be back by the end of spring is the ideal to join in some team stuff. And I think the surprise was Will Pauling from Wisconsin. He is in the fourth week of recovery after a right fifth metatarsal surgery. Missed the majority of offseason conditioning. He will be transitioning in with early drill work and then football team activities on the back end, and also meniscus surgery for Robbie Wolin, a walk-on offensive lineman. Gradually will be brought back, but I bring that up for a couple reasons. They're going to need offensive linemen when we get to the next segment, and also there's no such thing as a walk-on anymore starting in April, so Robbie Wolin is probably going to simply be a team member when we reconvene in August for one of these things. Guys, there's obviously a lot of news there. I thought Knapp was going to be almost good to go and would be challenging, of course.
Yeah, I did too. JB, you may have been, I wasn't aware that he actually had surgery after the Orange Bowl?
Yeah, I think we saw him in Atlanta.
That's why I hesitated. Yeah.
He had a hard cast on the leg in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Calling is news that, because look, we'll get to Jane Greathouse later, but Jordan Faison obviously won't be participating as a wide receiver because of lacrosse. Matt Jeffrey, a slot receiver, will not be participating because of lacrosse. And now Will Pauling is, he won't have a lot of work with the three quarterbacks, Pete.
No, he would have been on the list of guys I was most interested to see during spring ball. So I don't want to like say it's like overly significant, but you know, we saw last year, if you're the quarterback receiver combination, if you just skip the off season, like it takes a minute to get going. So Will Pauling's played a lot of football, should be able to catch up. It's, you know, look, Malachi Field isn't here at all. So I'm just so interested in him as like where he fits into the rotation, and like, we're not going to be able to get any read on that until August.
Yeah. And it's a give and take. Okay. You hate to miss those guys in the spring, but it's going to be a very active spring for KK Smith, Micah Gilbert, Cam Williams, Logan Saldate, all of whom need a whole bunch of reps. And you have three early entry freshmen receivers in Jerome Bettis Jr. and Scrap Richardson and Elijah Burris. So it's a bit of a give and take. What you don't get with the veteran guys, which you want because you want to start developing that chemistry right away, but it'll give a whole bunch. I just named more than half a dozen that will get plenty of opportunities to be catching passes from Steve Angeli and CJ Carr and Kenny Minchie and Blake Hebert.
Hey, JB, you've been all aboard the Billy Schroth taking the next step in his career train in this offseason. It's different ankle, but another surgery there. I think it's good that he went through winter conditioning, though, that he had the whole thing, and now they're just an intentional pause put on it.
Yeah, and a cleanup, you know. I noticed that ESPN a couple of weeks ago had Schroth among its way too early preseason 2025 All-Americans. I think he's a pro. People a lot smarter in ball than me think that Billy Schroth is a definite pro. So get it done now. Fortify the ankle. Make sure that you have them both in as good a condition as possible for a guy that has to grind and put a lot of torque on those snap after snap. And, you know, I think that Notre Dame has done a really good job with Lauren Lando in targeting specific areas. We've heard from every different position group about how, oh, I love it now because we do DB intensive drills, or we do things catered to the offensive line or tailored to the defensive line. And so I think this is a smart strategy on the part of Notre Dame. And for Anthony Knapp, you know, it's unfortunate because I'm curious, but it probably opens a pretty significant door for Gerby Lambert. And there's no mystery as to my feelings on the upside of Gerby Lambert.
Okay, so those are two of the four groups. And there is a list of nine who are definitely out for the spring. And Tim, that includes another.
Three surprises.
Yeah, well, yeah, another one, like you mentioned, Will Pauling, Jalen Strowman. See, these are, Notre Dame does a physical on these guys and they find further damage. And we know that Jalen Strowman was coming off that right clavicle injury and
didn't heal.
It wasn't healed.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So surgery upon arrival. For Strowman, he will move around, but with zero contact, but an unrestricted summer is expected. Another thing that was mildly surprising, Chris Terrick, foot surgery and shoulder AC joint surgery. The foot has already happened, right? And he's healing from that. Fully ready by the fall is the goal. So that's a fair amount of missed time by Chris Terrick. And then the one we didn't know, because it did happen during training, freshman Davion Dixon, right pectoral surgery after an injury last week. Should have full summer participation there. And then guys, we have, of course, the very important guys that have been out and caused Notre Dame to be a little shorthanded when they went through the season.
Yeah. I mean, Jordan Battelle, that sounds good with the
he said full summer of activity is expected.
Right. Jordan well, that's Battelle. What, you know what, that's what Battelle told me in New Orleans. And I was a little surprised by that, or I thought maybe he was just being a little bit overly optimistic, but he still seems to be, in line there. You guys go ahead. You guys can go ahead and go through this list here if you want.
Well, I think Ashton Craig, the quote was similar, same day, 5 months in post-op ACL. Maybe I expect him now. It seems like he'll certainly be back to compete for his job at center in August. And there's no leg up for Anthony Knapp in that position in either. So I think that transition might be part of August training camp at this point for Knapp, if he's going to help out at all three positions.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, they will do basically the college version of OTAs over the course of summer. So those guys will begin to get some work. You can bet with the work ethic of Anthony Knapp and just how he approaches the game, he'll go ahead and probably start cross-training himself in the summer, getting some snaps in with those quarterbacks as they organize some throwing sessions and things of that nature. But, yeah, it's unfortunate because he played all this ball this year and then gets hurt near the tail end. And he's not going to have a chance to immediately build on that like you would expect a guy forced into action as a true freshman to be able to really benefit from that first spring after you've played a ton of football.
I like that Boubacar Traore got the unrestricted summer evaluation from Rob Hunt. I talked to Traore in Atlanta. And he felt like he was going to be fully cleared sort of by the end of April. So to have that line up, because ultimately it's like, look, if you miss spring ball, that's fine. What you want is like, I feel great when training camp starts.
Yeah.
I feel like Boubacar Traore fits into the, I will feel great when training camp starts. And if that's the case, then that as a potentially difference-making player on the edge
of defense. It is. And to quote Rob Hunt about Boubacar Traore, he used the term super encouraged. He said, I'm super encouraged by his progress. So that is that. And Botello puts a different slant on the defensive end position. Because, you know, there's always concern when guys are coming on. Well, and Craig as well. I mean, there's always concern about the long lasting effects of this. For example, Cooper Flanagan with the Achilles, the term was modified early in the summer. So that's going
to
take
it's an 8 to 10 month injury. So he's out for right. Open. He's right, out right. 8 to 10 months. It started in January. So he is, should not be expected at all for the regular season. But just to quickly go back on Batella before we do the final two, killing it is something Rob Hunt said. You wouldn't expect that wouldn't be accepted coming from the head athletic trainer. But he also pointed out there's three things important for an injury. He said, number one, really, really good surgery and surgeons. They got that in Batella with Dr. Radigan. Shout out to Dr. Radigan as I coach his daughter. Number two,
you got the need to prove it.
You got the need to prove it too. He got rehab and Pete and the desire to return to play. And that's where rehab and return to play protocols with Hunt and his team and Lando and his team. And Hunt says, I'm biased, but that's my role. That's my job. We try to be perfect. And the most important one, and it helps a lot when you're a football player at Notre Dame, how hard you're going to work. He said, Jordan is a later developed athlete. I assume that means age, and is driven to work at all times. That is a bonus. He is probably driven to work at all times because it's his last chance too. I think later developed athlete means you're a 23-year-old knowing it's your last chance. And finally, Chance Tucker, who tore his ACL and MCL. I just put my notes away. 6 months into it, and he will be good to go, I believe, in the summer, but I'm going to double check on that. Guys, there's one more category, and I know JB's got to get rolling here.
Hold on, Tim. Kahanu-Kia, yes. Did you mention him?
No, I did not.
He's coming off a knee. He will not take contact this spring. We are up against the clock here a little bit with our schedule, so let's jump into that last group.
Yeah, the last group is guys that you may not see, or because we'll be reporting to you. During practice, when these players are not participating, that does not mean they're injured. It means everybody on the team is on an individual goal for the spring, for conditioning, for winter, summer, all the time. These guys played a lot of football, according to Rob Hunt, and you could have made this list up yourself, he joked. Josh Burnham, Jalen Sneed, Bryce Young, Drake Bowen, Leonard Moore, Christian Gray, Adon Shuler, Julian Love, Jeremiah Love. Julian Love would be a good guy to add to the team, too.
Yeah.
Emil Wagner. That's a squad right there of players that will not necessarily be involved in a lot of spring practices.
Jaden Greathouse. Did you say Greathouse?
And Jaden Greathouse, which leads back to the wide receivers. That's a lot of receivers out and a lot of receivers getting some time that are freshmen and sophomores.
But these guys will. I mean, they're going to practice. It's just that it's a load management issue. Yeah. And that's why I say it's important that we talk to people like this, because they inform you and give you clarity as to how, look, everybody's on their own schedule. You have to do it. It's football.
They used to do it.
They didn't. But it can't be a cookie cutter treatment of everybody. It's got to be individually designed. And so that was it. I thought that was hugely important for us to get that information.
I think Notre Dame revealing that today, particularly the load management group, is really smart. And once again, it shows that they're tapping into the sports science. I know we're not doing questions today, but I'd scouted ahead, and one of them was about explosiveness being a key in Notre Dame's run to the title game in 24. Can we expect to see more of that? And yeah, I think as Notre Dame recruits more and more dynamic athletes, and as Lauren Lando dials in his system more and more, yes, as we just alluded to, they are training specific to the positions, and he's doing more to make those skill players as explosive as possible. And I think this all ties together. So with that, I will let you three gentlemen take it away from there while I run to my 3 o'clock appointment, but I appreciate it.
I think everybody's bugging out here right now. We're about to.
I'll sign off for us, but I think, you know, we'll be back on Monday, March 10th. Do I have the dates right? I start looking at dates a little bit better than I
used. The 10th is Monday. Yeah. Yes.
Monday, March 10th. Maybe we'll go question heavy, because hopefully there won't be a lot of Notre Dame news in these next 4 days. We can go a question heavy podcast. Pete Sampson, anything else from today?
No, but I don't think I did not get internet on the cruise next week, so I will not be joining the podcast from Grand Turk. Sorry.
A little jealous. That's all right. I guess I was gone.
I just want to throw that in there.
You don't have any right to be jealous, Tim O'Malley. You have no right to be jealous.
No, that's true. Well, hey, it's how to be present. I am jealous in the moment. You know, I'm always trying to enhance, Tim. I wanted another vacation.
Gotcha. Wrap us. Take us home.
That is it for this edition of Irish Illustrated Insider. For John Bryce, who has left us, Pete Sampson, the Athletic, Tim Priester, I'm Tim O'Malley. Thanks for joining.